How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thanks for joining us. April 18th, 2026. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank here in the Twin Cities, Scott Wolmering, and I'm Ryan O'Neill with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. Hope your weekend is starting off well. This is a live and local show. You can interrupt us at any point, 612-294-6949, 612-294-6949 by phone or text. A lot to talk about. Scott and Mike, good morning, guys. Great to see you both.
Hey, good to see you, Ryan.
Yeah, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like Ryan says, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We're here every Saturday, local, for the next hour. Love your feedback and your comments, 612-294-6949. You can text us your questions, or you can call and go live on air, which we love. And if you're following us on any social media, just type in your questions. We'll handle it as it comes in. Busy show, like we always do at the beginning of the show. We're going to get into market updates, both from a mortgage standpoint and from a real estate standpoint. And then we're also going to spend a little time talking about the possible moratorium in Lakeville. Some of you might have saw it last night on CBS News, WCCO covered it, where they are talking about putting a 15-month moratorium, which basically means you cannot build in Lakeville over the next 15 months, and kind of a perspective of what we think. And then also I've talked with a few builders about what they think the actual issue is.
Yeah, a lot to discuss, a lot to talk about. Interrupt us at any point. We love being here on CCO with you all, and we're here to help, really, with any questions, comments, thoughts. Market update in the first segment. Mike, you are the mortgage pro. A lot going on with Luminate Bank, a lot going on with you. What's cooking?
You know what? The wolf pack is back, baby.
Wolf pack?
The wolf pack is back this week. Rates were creeping back in the right direction, the way we wanted them to go. And just yesterday, I was quoting some conventional loans at 5.99 again. So
wow.
So whatever is happening in Iran, you know, it's kind of calmed down over there. I see the strait is closed again, but who knows? whatever's happening over there, we were on the right path this week. Rates did come down a little bit. And so I was quoting rates on a VA at 5.5%. Conventionals were 5.99 to 6.25%. So we're kind of on the right path again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess nobody likes to see gas prices high. Nobody likes to see kind of what's been going on. But at least with this, you knew there was an end to it. You knew there was things that could occur that are going to cause things to get better. The war is going to end. Gas prices are going to go down. You're going to see interest rates start to come down. So at least you knew there was an end to it. And I think this is probably as close as we've got to. They're at the end of it. I mean, they're a wrap up point.
Yeah, let's dive into a real estate update here too, Mike. New listings in the Twin Cities down 11%. There were 1,395 new homes that came up for sale. That's year-over-year percentage numbers, so down, again, almost 12%. Pending sales up year-over-year, 1,071 pending or accepted purchase agreements. And the inventory of total homes for sale is also up 6% year over year, 8,773. Last thing they talked about here, Mike and Scott, it says builder confidence for newly built single family homes ticked up 1 point to 38 in March, according to the National Association of Home Builders. Nice to see more pending sales, guys. I think as a team, Minnesota real estate team, we kind of felt it this past week too. A lot of good activity, all areas, price ranges. Scott, what did you see?
Yeah, no, you can tell. I mean, it's still soft out there. I mean, I put on 5 listings this last week, and 3 of them have sold already. I've got an offer coming on, one that I just put on yesterday. So everything's still moving. It's just not the ferociousness that we had over the last couple of years where, you know, you put it on, you do all of your creative marketing to drive people through, you get 15, 20 showings, and you get 10 offers. We're not seeing that. You know, we're seeing, you know, 3, 4, 5 offers after 3, 4 days on the market. And, you know, it's selling, sometimes in multiples, but it's just not that aggression that we've seen. And I think the reason for that, the war put everybody on hold. It hasn't resettled back yet, so I think people are still just kind of watching, which if your applications are way up and activity is still relatively soft, that's the only thing I can think about.
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday, 7 apps came in.
Yeah.
Just on Friday, right? It was just like a flood coming in. It was like, holy cow, what's going on? There are definitely still some houses out there that are getting the 20 offers on it. I had one buyer that I think I spoke about this last week, but it was a 519 listing. They went to 570 to get it.
Yep.
I had another buyer earlier this week where there was 32 offers on the home. We went, he went 30 grand over. It was a 315 listing. He went 30 grand over and didn't even
wasn't even in the hunt. Yeah, that especially in that price range under 500 is still nuts. It's just when you creep above that, it gets a little soft.
Hey, I had a question that says before the break. Maybe we can hit this right after the break, Mike. Fannie Mae is said to begin accepting crypto-backed mortgages, according to the Wall Street Journal this week. Home buyers pledge Bitcoin and other crypto as down payments on such mortgages. Crypto bigwigs have been pushing Trump to do this, could now be coming to pass. What will that do for the future of the housing industry, innovation or trapdoor? Thinking of Lehman Brothers. You want to hit that now?
So we haven't received any guidance on that yet. I did see that same article that Fannie Mae came out and said that they were going to do that. I just don't know how lenders are going to implement that. I don't know what rules and regulations they have on that. Our corporate office has not said, hey, we can now start to allow this, and here is the rules or the guidelines you have to follow in order to do it. So usually something like this, it takes a while to roll out. So I imagine it's probably going to be maybe this fall or maybe next year where maybe you start seeing some of these close with crypto. But it's just new and people are going to have to just, you know, kind of figure out how it's going to work and make the guidelines off of it.
Yeah, we're up against our first break already. Excited today. We've got Cam Sievers with Midwest Money Management with us. Each week we have one of our partners from the Minnesota Real Estate Show join us on air. Cam is wonderful. She's a breath of fresh air, and she's got just a lot of great information coming up for us as well. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. 612-294-6949 is how you can join us at any time throughout the show, the live show, or throughout the week. We'll be back after the break. Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us every week, Scott, Mike. We love to feature some listings. Melissa Martinez, great listing on the Minnesota Real Estate, great agent on the Minnesota Real Estate team, has one in Bloomington, Nesbitt, 9344 Nesbitt Road in Bloomington. Scott, for $400,000, it is obviously a great West Bloomington location, remodeled twin home, just under 2,000 square feet, 3 large bedrooms, 3 spa-like bathrooms, Melissa says. Vaulted ceilings, rich hardwood floors, maintenance-free living at its finest, and it's near Highland Lake Park Reserve, Highland Hills, the ski area, Bush Lake, Normandale Lake, 400,000, 9344 Nesbitt Road in Bloomington, a very nice one. And then one other one, Scott, this one's in Jordan. Jen Tischletter has one on Vergus Avenue, 17570 Vergus Avenue for $875,000. It has 100 feet of west-facing lakeshore on Spring Lake. Wow. It's a 600-acre lake. Great fishing, Mike. Perfect for recreation. A huge lot. It's got a nice gradual slope to the lake and the sandy beach. It's an updated Rambler, 4-bed, 3-bath, all living facilities on the main level. And the roof and the mechanicals updated in the last 6 years. New carpet, fresh paint. That's 17570 Vergus Avenue in Jordan, 875. Mike, Scott, what do you think of that one?
Very nice. Both very nice. I got a question for you. What determines what is a twin home and what is a townhome?
Twin home and a townhome. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I don't want to spoil the answer.
Yeah, let's hear it. You're the non-real estate pro.
You're the non-real estate agent.
I have no idea.
Come on. All right.
Take a guess out there.
Fair enough.
One you can buy with crypto, one you can't.
So what do you think, Mike, from a lending perspective?
I think it's association, right?
Right. Yeah.
Twin homes don't have associations. Townhomes do.
Yep. And so a twin home, everybody always thinks that has to do with the style of home. Like there's two homes next to each other, so that's a twin home. Even if it's a townhome, people always refer to it as a twin home. But yeah, twin homes do not have associations. So the rub is you better like your neighbor because you got a house attached to you that has no association. So if they want to paint their house pink, and your side is painted blue, you're going to have a pink and blue house because it's all the same.
Yeah, associations. Just as a buyer or a seller, if you're looking at an association property, condo or townhome, just always do some research on the association. You can read. You have 10 days in Minnesota to read all of the documents. And know what you're buying. Again, Mike, there can be restrictions, rental restrictions, pet restrictions, a variety of different things. But Scott, that's a good point between twin and townhome.
Yeah, and people should understand what Ryan was just talking about on a townhome. There's a 10-day state statute. It's the only thing you cannot agree to in writing, except you can reduce it to 3 days. But you can't remove the state statute. So there's 10 days to review the association documents and walk. Understand this as a buyer and as a seller. They can walk for any reason. It doesn't have to be because they found something in the association. They could find another house they like better within that 10 days. So it is absolutely imperative as a listing agent that you provide those association docs as soon as you possibly can to that buyer and that buyer's agent to get that 10 days to start ticking.
It's a really good tip because, again, people – you know, just in the years of experience, Scott, you can think a lot of situations where people, for whatever reason, decide to back out during that 10 days. That's, Mike, that's hard for a seller. You know, you've been under contract for 20 days and maybe, you know, the agent forgot to get those documents to the buyer's agent. And now a week before closing, they say, we're going to cancel. And the seller's like, well, you can't do that. Well, you can.
One of my buyers actually just did it because for Scott, like with Scott's example, there was another unit in the same townhome complex that came up during the 10 days.
That they liked better.
Yep. And so they went and looked at it, and all of a sudden I got a text from the agent saying, hey, we're going to cancel that one. We're going to go after this other one that came on. So it does happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't really understand about. They don't understand that they can walk for any reason at all. It's another thing that people don't understand. A lot of agents don't understand. So if you're listening, listen to this. It is one of the only things that I'm aware of contractually that can start before a contract's in place. So you show my house that has an association on it, and you say, yep, Scott, we're interested. And I send you, as the agent, the association documents. You haven't written on the property yet, but on Monday, I send you all the association documents. On Friday, you write the offer that we accept. That 10 days starts from the time I sent you those association documents, not after you're under contract. And Ryan, I don't know if you're aware, but that's the only thing I'm aware of contractually that is set up that way.
Yeah, I just had a question too along those lines about what's the difference between a duplex and a twin home? Mike, a duplex, you want to hit that one? What's the difference between a duplex and a twin home?
Probably no common wall separating the units.
No, because you could have a twin home, which people would think of twin homes, which is a duplex side by side.
Side by side.
So they would think, well, that's a twin home. No, that's just the style.
So one owner
of
the duplex versus the twin owner is separate owners.
And separate utilities, and normally separate utilities.
Yeah, the lot is split too. The lot may be split, Mike, where it's versus a shared lot.
Twin home would have separate PIDs, where the duplex has one PID.
Correct. Yep.
Financing wise, Mike, maybe is a twin home like single family, a duplex is like a multifamily.
Yep. Twin home would be considered a single unit property, so you know you could do as little as 3% down on conventional loan and so on. Duplex, as soon as it turns to duplex, the minimum down is 5%.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Alex Zahner on the team, great agent. Said twin homes were created by people that got kicked out of their HOAs.
Oh, boy. Hey, I want to welcome her on here officially because she is a sweetheart and just a wonderful person. Love working with her. She's got an official introduction. Cam Severs is a certified financial planner for Midwest Money Management located at 17316 Kenyon Avenue in Lakeville, Minnesota. Securities offered through JW Cole Financial, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Fee-based investment advisory services offered through JW Cole Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Midwest Money Management is independent of JW Cole Financial, Inc. and JW Cole Advisors, Inc. Good morning, Cam. Great to have you on there, friend.
Thanks for having me. Nothing like a short intro.
Yeah, I was going to say, that brings us to our final break.
Yeah. Hey, Rye, great show today. Thanks, bud. Thanks, it was really nice.
Couldn't have done it without you guys.
You know what I've always wanted to do on that is you see the TV commercials where they obviously are speeding up the talking.
Yeah.
But if I practice that, you just say it in like 8 seconds. If I just could whip through it. You
I will
know?
Say you do whip through it pretty quickly. Like you, maybe a career as an auctioneer at some point.
Yeah, I could do it. I could do it.
Ryan, you need to record it and then play the recording like 3 times mm-hmm. fast.
Hey, good point. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Rye? You're thinking there.
Yeah, it's just too much work for me. I mean, I'm thinking of the production work. I'd have to go into it. So, I don't know.
We do not want to make you work harder.
Hey, thank you. So that reminds me totally off subject here. But
please do.
So do any of when you watch TikTok or people watch TikTok? I know you do.
TikTok an app.
Confirmed, do you?
I didn't even know that's where crypto is.
I didn't even know this was a thing. But you can speed it up.
Yeah.
And so I've watched my ex-wife, Jen. I'm like, what? How in the world? So she watches TikTok, but because it's taking too long, she speeds it up so it's all fast. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You watch
5 hours of TikTok, and it's all on like the fastest that you could ever do.
It's kind of like life.
I have a Gen Z brain for sure.
Okay, talk to us about this.
I'm just on the cusp of Gen Z versus millennial.
Okay.
Because I was born in 1997. It's right on the cusp.
1997? I got underwear older than that.
So tell me about that. Do you do that too?
Yes. I do everything on 2x speed. If I listen to a podcast, I do it on 2x speed. If I bet you do, Ryan. If I watch a video, I do it on 2x speed. Like, I am going for maximum efficiency, maximum, like, content intake. Even, like, when I did all of my studies for, like, the industry that I'm in,
yeah.
All of the videos that I got that I had to watch, I watch everything on 2x speed.
Ryan, do you do it too?
I listen to AM radio, man. Like, I don't know, TikTok is, no, that's not my speed.
Yeah. I mean, that's just whatever. That's just, you don't have the time to just watch it at normal speed. You got to speed that thing up so you can get to another TikTok video. Just da, 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 da.
Totally guilty as charged.
I found certain things I do. It depends upon the person. Like, I find sometimes if I re-listen to, say we do a little team training or something, I find that I'm a slower talker. And that it's for certain people with their cadence on how they talk, that even if I double it up, that it's still reasonable. You know what I mean? Like versus if someone's a little bit faster talker mm-hmm. than the 2x speed. Have you noticed that, Cam?
Yeah. Yeah. There's one podcast that I listen to. It's like completely like a reality TV podcast, like nothing informational, but they are very fast talkers.
They are.
And so sometimes I go down to 1¾ speed.
See?
So I know Ryan would like there to be a 2x feature when somebody's just talking to him. He'd like to be able to just fast forward that,
Ryan,
get to the
you
point.
Me both.
Scott, what do you think, Mike? Mike, you got any thoughts on that?
I've certainly been there, too. Just spit it out. Let's go.
Let's go.
I got stuff to do.
I'm going to put you on 2x.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, when you think about that. 612-294-6949 is how you can you can join us by phone or text for TikTok-related and other topics. Cam, hey, before the break, tax day just passed. That was huge for you.
Tax day just passed. We survived. We do not prepare taxes in the office, but we do a ton of tax planning. And so it's always kind of a big milestone once we make it past tax day. So we're definitely celebrating in our office.
Have you ever done your consultations at 2x speed? Think of that with Adam. Adam wouldn't like that.
Adam would not like that. Adam would not sponsored by that man. But I do think that I'm a generally pretty fast talker, so I'd like to think that I'm efficient.
Hey, it's already the halfway point at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. You are welcome to join us and interrupt us. Please do. 612-294-6949 with anything real estate related, mortgage related. A lot to talk about today. We've got Ryan Perpich here. And friends, Ryan is going to be moving on he's got another full-time job. Ryan, we're going to miss you here. We need to have a big going away party for the whole month of May.
That's okay. We'll just pretend it would never happen.
We're gonna do something fun.
I'm gonna do an O'Neill style, an Irish goodbye.
Good.
Yes. All of a sudden, one day you're just not there. I'm gonna pick it for WCCO. I don't like the whole Ryan leaving thing.
I don't either.
No.
Yeah, we don't like that.
We've got a lot of clout around here, yeah. Ryan. We'll shake some heads up.
By all means, I'll help out any way I can.
Hey, it's the halfway point at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. You are welcome to join us. Hope your weekend is going well. We'll be back after the break. Hey, welcome back to the halfway point of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Just wanted to share a brief minute of hope.
Yes.
We all need a little light some days. This week, we met a wonderful gal. Her name is Jody, and she had a severe childhood injury, 2 years old, if you can believe, that left her blind in one eye. As a kid growing up, she was bullied severely because of the disfigurement. However, she went on to become a standout hockey player and a record holder in track and field at the University of Minnesota. She's got 5 kids. She recently had a variety of challenges, one being a clerical error that impacted her disability support, limiting her ability to work. We met her this week. I'm grateful for your support, everyone, as donors. We were able to help her with 1 month housing payment. Just a sweetheart of a gal, and she's had a lot of bad stuff happen to her in life. But you know what, Scott? She's positive. She's hardworking. She's kind, and it just was really inspiring to meet somebody that's had a tough life. And thank you to everybody for supporting the O'Neill Foundation of Hope.
Well, what's so cool about the foundation, like with this situation, a lot of times it doesn't have to get so bad. You know, if you just had a little help, like, you know, like she's going to miss one mortgage payment. Well, if you miss that mortgage payment, then all of a sudden you've got to pay two. Well, you can't pay two because you could barely pay one. And before you know it, you're losing your house. So it's good for you guys.
Yeah. No, thanks to everybody for your support. 612-294-6949, the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Cam Seavers, Midwest Money Management, thank you for being here today. We talked about tax season just wrapping up. You guys have a lot going on at Midwest Money Management.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a fast-paced industry. I feel like we always have stuff going on. But, I mean, just, like, things going on in the world that impact us, like client questions, tax season, all of the things. But something that I did want to kind of talk about today,
yes,
is something that's a bit uncommon in the industry.
Crypto?
Crypto, for sure. My broker-dealer probably wouldn't like if I talked about that because it's unregulated. But something that's a bit uncommon in the industry that Midwest Money Management does is we ask our clients for investment discretion.
Yeah.
What investment discretion is it gives us as the advisors and portfolio managers the ability to make investment changes on our clients' behalf in real time, and then we notify them afterwards. Why this is so important is because I think most people that work with a financial advisor or want to work with a financial advisor assume that their advisor has discretion.
Discretion.
But it's actually pretty uncommon in the industry, but it gives us the ability to make good choices in real time. I mean, in hindsight, it's always 20/20, but it gives us the ability to move as quickly as possible as things in the world are going on. So that's just something that I kind of wanted to highlight today.
What about just setting it and forgetting it? I mean, isn't that a common approach too?
Set
it and forget it. Is that better?
Common approach. And really, like, there's kind of a couple of different schools of thought. And so a lot of times, like, we'll have clients that have like a 401k or something like that, an asset that we cannot manage. And for that, like, more of a set it and forget it approach, you know, you're putting money in on a systematic basis, like you're taking advantage of like when the market's up, when the market's down. There are times and places for a set it and forget it approach. However, the way that we manage money is we're really interested in protecting the downside first and foremost. And in most of our investment strategies, I mean, we have strategies that are more like set it and forget it, but mostly protecting the downside and then advancing when there's a good opportunity.
So, Cam, do you have people that come in? I've thought about this just at different stages in your life.
Yeah.
Where, so for example, let's say a 30-year-old that's doing relatively well comes in and says, look, you know, I want to be conservative with 60% of my portfolio. Yeah. and take 40% of it and just go balls out. I mean,
for
I can't
sure.
say that, but you know what I mean? Just go after it. And
yeah.
I mean, do you have people that do that versus somebody that comes in that 60 that is looking at retiring and they're like, look, I want to make sure I've got no risk and just kind of a steady income or whatever?
Yeah, that's such a good question. There's absolutely a time and a place for like everything, right? And so sometimes we'll have a 30-year-old that comes in that doesn't really have such an interest in like a more conservative portfolio at all because they're like, I've got a long time horizon, 30 years out for retirement. And in a case like that, we have even more aggressive investment strategies that are designed to more like match, beat the market, that kind of thing. But almost all of the strategies that we have do have at least like a circuit breaker involved. And so if things get bad enough, and it's like a pretty like big lever to pull, but if things get bad enough, then we can move to cash still. So instead of seeing the idea behind it is instead of seeing your investment portfolio maybe be down 50, 60% like we've seen during 07, 08, during the tech bubble, that kind of thing, you know, we're trying to mitigate that risk a bit more. So you don't see an event like that because those are the things that are hard to come back from.
So now listening to you, Cam, I would never put you on 2x speed.
No.
I want to get every second of that.
Yes. I want to listen.
I could probably slow down.
No, it was good. No, it was really good. Hey, we had a text here.
Yeah.
This one said, my parents have lived in their home for 30 plus years. Dad says it's time to sell. Mom says, we can get a reverse mortgage. What could I say to help? Or should I just buy some lottery tickets? What do you think? Mike, Scott, Cam, does it make sense? Sell, get a reverse mortgage. What could I say to help?
I mean, I personally hate reverse mortgages. It would depend on the situation. That would be one if, by all means, one of us could definitely sit down with your dad and walk through what he's trying to achieve. But I look at it as, you know, right now that arguments, you're probably in the second best seller's market we've ever seen. So you're going to get the absolute maximum that you could possibly get for your dad's house. You know that. Whether that's going to be the case in 5 years from now, you don't know. So if he's at that point where cashing out would make sense, I would do that. And if he wants to draw from his money, draw from his money. I just don't like, and you can go through how reverse mortgage works, Mike, but I'm just not a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they would be eligible for a reverse mortgage if they've been there for 30 years. I assume the house is paid off free and clear. You know, if they want to stay there and it's like, we're, you know, with our retirement income coming in, we're just strapped every single month, like we need some additional money coming in. Reverse mortgage basically just pays you monthly, right? And you're just eating up the equity in your house and it pays you monthly, you know, so you can help cover those, you know, property taxes and insurance and the other stuff. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, kind of personal preference. The situation is dependent. I will say reverse mortgages are a little bit higher on closing costs and stuff, so you have that piece of it, but it's just a one-time initial, you know, cost up front, and then, you know, you can actually get paid per month after that. So situational, depends on the person.
Yeah, we're anybody that's, I guess, as old as I am that's lived through markets, I look at the downside. I look at the, if you're 65 years old and you're going to retire and you need this income for the next 20 years, if you cash out, let's call it $1 million, sell your house for $1 million, you put your $1 million in with these guys and you make, you know, X percent on it, you can live on that. So you take a reverse mortgage at $1 million, great. You're taking that money out, and then a 2008 hits and the $1 million house now is worth 450. All of that money that you were going to live on is now just gone in an instant because you have no equity in your house anymore. You've used it up, so you're not going to have those extra 10 years to be able to draw, because I know that there's something in the reverse mortgage that says, look, if values drop, we're not going to keep just writing you a check.
Well, and I think there is uncertainty, Scott, but I also think our market is pretty stable, that I think the likelihood of that is super rare.
Likelihood of what?
What you just described. That
of a house dropping?
Yeah.
Of 2008 happening again.
A house being $1 million.
Correct.
Now worth $500.
Yeah, 2008 was a once in a 100-year
I'm kind debacle. Of an anti-realtor approach for mom and dad. I say don't sell the house. Keep it. You've lived there for 30 years. Enjoy it. Continue to live out your life there. And, you know, let your kids deal with the house after the fact. and get the reverse mortgage. That's my thought. Enjoy the house. You've been there. You've worked hard.
Just have the kids start paying you money. You paid for
yes,
all their stuff.
That's
for,
right.
Like, how many
that's,
years?
That's what, I didn't know
money.
You had kids. Absolutely. Have them start writing a check every month, and then you can do what Ryan says. Just stay in your house.
Cam Severs, Midwest Money Management. So you're talking about discretion, being able to help your clients in certain situations.
Yeah. So really, because Midwest Money Management, like the backbone of our investment strategy is tactical, which means that we have the ability to be really like either fully constructively invested when the opportunity is there, but we also have the ability to move to a position of safety. And so that's where the discretion piece really comes in, that it becomes important that we can make these investment decisions on behalf of our clients and then notify them afterwards, because it eliminates a big conflict of interest. You know, if we have, you know, 100 clients, let's say, you know, and a big market event happens without discretion, like who do you call first? Because you have to have that conversation. And so do you call your biggest client? Do you call your favorite client? Do you call your mom and dad? And so the investment discretion, along with our like different processes, give us the ability to really act in an equal stance against for all of our clients, at least equal on an investment level.
Hey, I know we're up against our final break here. Before we do that, I have one listing I want to hit. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about the moratorium that is going to be in Lakeville. It was national news last night. We're going to talk about what that means, and I'm going to also talk a little bit about what the builders think is actually happening. Have a great listing at 9055 Lakeside Drive in Victoria. Just went on the market today. It is a two-story. It is three bedrooms up. 2,400 square feet up, unfinished basement, an incredible four-season porch off the back, absolutely stunning home, listed at $600,000, 9055 Lakeside in Victoria.
Yeah, 612-294-6949 is how you can join us anytime throughout the show, throughout the week. I recently attended Midwest Money Management's annual client event. There were probably, I don't know, 300 people in the room. Wonderful event. Very helpful. Very informational. I have referred friends, family, neighbors over to Cam and Adam and team. Wonderful folks. Wherever you are at in your life, if you want a good, trusted financial partner with you, they are kind, caring, and super knowledgeable and just great at what they do. So I can't recommend them more highly. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Again, feel free to join us. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. A couple other listings, Scott. We got one in Belle Plaine. Justin Voss has one at 833 South Walnut Street in Belle Plaine for $350,000. It's a four-bed, two-bath. It's got new flooring throughout in 2022, new stainless steel appliances, a fully finished basement with a fireplace. Great backyard, large deck, three-style garage, small-town feel, big city access. Again, $350,000 for 833 South Walnut Street in Belle Plaine. And Scott, one other one. Miss Laura Antolik has one in Apple Valley. This is 14537 Florissant Path in Apple Valley for $299. It's a move-in ready townhome. It's in Apple Valley. Open floor plan. LVP flooring, stainless steel appliances, two spacious bedrooms on the upper level, two full bathrooms, a nice loft as well. You got a large porch, a lower level oversized and heated garage. Mike, you like the garage? Lots of amenities, outdoor pool, jacuzzi, clubhouse, outdoor grills, workout facility, and it's walking distance to everything, shopping, dining, entertainment, parks. She's doing an open today. She's the open house queen.
She is.
11 to 12:30 today, tomorrow, Sunday, 12 to 1:30, 14537 Florissant Path.
Or fluorescent, depending on how you pronounce it.
No, it's spelled F-L-O-R-I-S-S-A-N-T.
Oh, you're right, Florissant. Florissant. Florissant.
Is that French, Ryan?
Yes.
Good response. Mike, what do you think, bud? Is it it's Florissant?
I think it's Florissant. I think you're right.
That you think of that, Scott. You know, when Kathy and I lived in Lakeville, I mean, you know those areas.
I do.
You know those towns.
I always said fluorescent, but you're right, Florissant.
So are you from Bemidji or from...
I think that's the only way you can say Bemidji.
Yeah, I didn't know any other way.
Hey, we should probably get into this because we said we would. So in Lakeville last night,
Scott's like, okay.
Well,
enough.
Yeah. If you were watching the news last night, you probably saw the national news that they are proposing a moratorium in Lakeville. What moratorium means is a stop in building, so ceasing building for 15 months. And the reason that they're saying that it's being voted on Monday. So this kind of came quick, and it's being voted on Monday. I mean, the Builders Association's up in arms. They're going to be there whether it goes through or not. But their rationale for doing it was that they can't keep up. Lakeville was the number one city in the Twin Cities for building permits last year in 2025. That they just can't keep up with the that many people wanting to move in. They're asking for, I think, $140 million to be able to extend some of their middle schools because their class sizes are getting too big. And all of that makes sense. You listen to it, and it makes sense. So I dug a little bit deeper than that. When you actually talk to some of the builders, they don't believe that that's what's happening at all. There's some pressure to do low-income housing. And that the thought is that by the city of Lakeville saying, oh, we can't do any of that. We can't do any low-income housing because we put a moratorium on for 15 months. So they kind of skirt the state putting pressure on them to do that. I don't know whether that's true. That's just what some of the builders have told me. They believe the actual pressure of it is. But anyways, it's you know, for me, I do a lot of business in Lakeville. And we already have a shortage of housing. You know, we don't need them cutting building. And I don't know the specifics of if you're already through permit, if you've already done your plat, if you've, you know, where you get cut off. But I can tell you right now, the builders are scrambling looking for land to be able to fall in line.
I imagine if you have your building permit, they're going to let you
finish it out. You would think so.
They'll just say no more building permits issued from starting on this date. And then, so which means that get your permits in, all the builders are going to be running down there and just submitting building permits like crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? We need more housing.
We do.
I mean, it's just plain and simple. Anyone, I mean, talk to friends who rent, who own, who do whatever, invest. There's just not enough housing.
Yeah, I mean,
just across the board.
When I saw this last night on the news, I was racking my brain. You know, my immediate thought is, well, hire more people at the city of Lakeville if you can't handle the or streamline your system. But that's why it didn't make any sense that we would quit building. It makes more sense that we would quit building because there's some other political motive. And I've heard from the builders, it's not just Lakeville looking at doing it. It's actually a bunch of other cities that are looking at doing it because, you know, it's the way human nature is. Oh, we hope there's affordable housing. We just don't want it next to me. You know, and that's kind of the premise that's out there.
Yeah, 612-294-6949. Cam Sievers, Midwest Money Management. Cam, you got any other deep thoughts for us here today? Obviously, encourage people to reach out. MidwestMoneyManagement.com. Great folks.
Yeah, I definitely think go ahead and reach out if you're looking for a financial planner. We're based out of Lakeville. We're on the north side of Lakeville. And really, like, we're just looking to help the community. So if you've got any questions, whether you're, you know, maybe buying a house for the first time, we can talk about that. If you're thinking about retirement, we can talk about that. You know, we really cover like a broad spectrum of things that go on in people's financial lives. So 100%, if you're looking for some answers, we can maybe help. So the best way to reach us is by calling our office, which is 651-204-3000. That's 651-204-3000. Or you can, you know, go to our website too, MidwestMoneyManagement.com.
You need to stop out more often, Cam. We like you.
It's fun being here.
And
I'm
never going
with you guys.
I'm never going to re-listen to our podcast at double speed when you talk.
Oh, thank you.
We like you.
I like being here.
Hey, so we just got one of the builders that typed in that said the cities are trying to avoid, this is again on the moratorium, the cities are trying to avoid the Minnesota Starter Home Act. The Minnesota Starter Home Act is what they're trying to avoid by putting the moratorium on.
Yeah, Starter Home Act, it says, similar housing bills in Minnesota typically set state-level guidelines or incentives, still rely heavily on local city implementation, zoning approvals. Cities don't always opt out outright, but they often slow walk, limit, or shape how it's applied, Mike.
Well, I think we spoke about this last week as we were walking out the studio here, but an idea that one of the agents had on Ryan's team was, well, if they want more like starter home price range homes on the market, maybe have some sort of incentive for those sellers to not charge capital gains tax.
Yeah.
That could be one way to take existing homes and get more of them on the market in that starter home price point to kind of spark that that level.
Yeah, it has been a fun show. We're already at the end. It goes by quickly. Mike Overson, Luminate Bank. Again, we often mention this, but I just wanted everyone to know as well. Mike, mention your program. You guys are local. Again, you've got that savings account deal going on as well.
Yep. If you do a mortgage loan with us and you open up a checking or savings account and put $2,500 or more into that account, we'll give you $400 off closing costs. Open an account with us and do a mortgage with us and put $100,000 into that account or more, we'll give you $1,000 off closing costs. So just another way to kind of help save on some of the costs out there for going through the home loan process.
Yeah, another program that you have, which is absolutely exceptional. I've got a client of mine doing it right now. Perfect situation. My client has to sell his house without buying another house. And he couldn't do that. So it's, what is it called? The
Fly Homes.
The Fly Homes program. Basically, Luminate comes in, guarantees the sale, buys it, allows my client to be able to buy their next house, move in, and then what, 6 months to sell their house?
6 months to sell their house, and it's a flat cost of $2,500.
$2,500 when you think about having to put your stuff in storage, all the costs associated with it, all that goes out the window. It's a cool program.
Yeah, you don't have to move twice. You don't have to find interim housing. Literally, the $2,500 is probably the best money you'll spend because it'll make your life so much easier through that sell and buy process.
Yeah, great show, Scott. Yeah, nice job. Any last quick thoughts?
No, I think I'm going to start, especially when you talk, I'm going to start doing it at 2.5 times speed, see if I like that. But well, that's I appreciate everybody tuning in. Catch us every weekend. We're here live every Saturday.
Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us. Wanted to give a shout out to my dear uncle, Uncle Rick Kane, who had a pretty significant surgery here this week. He's slowly on the mend. He and Gene have been longtime CCO listeners of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We hope you're back to 100% health. And again, congrats. Uncle just got inducted into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame. Enjoy this weekend, everybody. Take care.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.